Shabbat Shalom. Well, I thought it was very apropos that as we're starting to go over the Song of Solomon now, one of the most amazing books in the Bible as far as the bride and the bridegroom, that we would go over the purpose of man 3. I actually didn't really plan on doing a part 2 until part 1 was over, and I realized, oh, I have to do part 2. And I didn't plan on doing part 3. But now after part 2, I realized I need to do a part 3. So this is called Purpose of Man 3, Faith and the Ten Virgins. Faith and the Ten Virgins. If you didn't hear Purpose of Man explained, part 1, and then Purpose of Man 2 on lineage, please go and listen to them. They're extremely important messages. But if you remember, in part 2, I made the comment that once Yeshua came, the second Adam, the seed of Adam, that lineage stopped. That was the end of lineage. And I realized after that message that that's not totally incorrect. The physical lineage may have stopped at that point and the importance of it, but the spiritual lineage really continued. So I want to start out in Galatians 3 and verse 29, where it says, "And if you are in Messiah, then you are a seed of Abraham, even heirs according to the promise." So if you are in Messiah, then you are a seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So right here, we see in the Brit Hadashah in the New Testament, seed does continue. It's just not a physical seed. It's a spiritual seed. The physical seed had to be physically from Adam, Ha-Adam, the man, all the way up into the second Adam, Yeshua. But then at that point, we talked in the last sermon, that all of the first fruit believers are grafted into that lineage of the Messiah. But actually, there has been a lineage that Yeshua has had for 2,000 years under his judicial order, and it's in Mark 3, verse 14. Mark 3, verse 14 says, "And he made disciples of 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them to proclaim, and having authority to heal diseases and cast out the demons." So he ordained 12 disciples, literally is what the translation says. He ordained 12 disciples. And we know them to be the 12 apostles. And he gave them authority. So the point of the matter is, I know I never realized it when I came into the truth 35 years ago. I never realized that there was a literal body of Messiah, that it wasn't just an analogy, it wasn't just something spiritual, it wasn't just something in my heart, but literally, Yeshua picked 12 men, he trained them, and he started the New Testament congregation, which is a lineage. It's a spiritual lineage of us, and that lineage always continued. After the apostles, they laid hands on other people, and during the Great Revolt and different things that happened in the 2nd century, then the 3rd century, and particularly after Constantine, the believers fled Jerusalem and those areas, and they went to Armenia and different areas there, and they were called Paulicians. And then after that, they traveled to Bulgaria and those areas and called Bogomils, and then they wound up in Italy and France and those areas over there, and they were called Waldenses and Sabbatai and Waldenses from Valdos and all types of different names, Catharis. And after that, in the 1600s, they became the Anabaptists. And then when America started and they came over, the Pilgrims and the Mennonites in America, who later became the Seventh-day Baptist, and then the Church of God Seventh-day. And then from there, the breakoffs in 1934, the Sacred Name Movement. And today, I would say probably the vast, vast, if not all, the majority of the remnant of the true church, the true congregations of Yeshua, are in some form or another part of one of the Sacred Name groups. And, of course, Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem, ourself, which is centered there, being centered out of Jerusalem, and the head of Yahweh's end-time work from Jerusalem going to the nations. So this is a lineage. And I thought it's extremely important, because when we're looking at the bride and the bridegroom, we're really going to see that that lineage is really important. That Yahweh, in the end time here, in the Laodicean era, it's an era that affects us. Face it, it says that Lot's spirit was vexed living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I bet you could imagine how that would be, that if you lived in such a vile place, seeing things like he saw every day, your spirit would be vexed too, or at least it should be. But it's the same today. Living in the Laodicean era, it doesn't just affect our congregation or the different branches of Yeshua's congregation, but it affects everybody on the earth. I mean, we're seeing coups and uprisings and the Laodicean spirit and most recently the Yellow Jackets going to the streets in France and even in Israel. And we're seeing this of ruled by the people. That's what Laodicean means. So it's going to affect the mindset of people. And face it, when I came into truth 35 years ago, basically there was only a handful of options if you were going to come into the truth. You know, the Church of God being one of those options, Church of God Seventh Day, or Worldwide Church of God, or of course the Assembly of Yahweh, which I didn't know about at that time. But there weren't many options, and it was definitely going to be through an organized congregation. And even in the world, you had Protestantism and Catholicism and whatnot. But as the Laodicean era really crept into these last days, what we've seen is a removal of religion in all religions. Even in Judaism, this is happening. People going rogue, going on their own, you know, going out and just starting congregation ministries, the ministries through the internet, all kinds of stuff that is not sanctioned by Yahweh, that only brings confusion. And it's all part of Satan trying to hide the true lineage of Yeshua, because he does have a true lineage. He tried to hide it when Yeshua was born by killing the babies with Herod. He tried to hide it with Moses with the same thing, with killing the babies in his day. And today he's trying to hide that lineage by bringing thousands upon thousands of all different rogue, fake religion all over the world in that way. So Hebrews 11:6, what does it say? Because this is part of faith, right? But without faith, it is impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I think sometimes we just read past this, like, oh, of course, yeah, faith is, we have to believe Yahweh is. But you want to know something? It's much more than that, because every time we have our mind opened by Yahweh's Spirit to something in his word, and we don't believe it, and it's not just, it's doing it. Like I say, years ago, I used to say, I believe in the Sabbath. I don't even like to say that anymore. I believe in the Sabbath. I say, I keep the Sabbath, because like we see in the book of Jacob, that faith without a deed is dead. So anybody could say they believe anything, but if you really believe it, you're going to stand up for it. And that's one of the things of the Wormbrand series that really showed me is even though they didn't may have not had all the right doctrine, and they were willing to die for their faith. They believed in something and they backed it up. And as true believers that do have the right doctrine and part of the right lineage, we need to back that up. So when we're not following this, when we're not believing what Yahweh says, we're not showing faith in him. And you know what? This is exactly what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. If we go to Genesis 2 and verse 15, what does Yahweh say? And Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, eating you may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, surely you will die. Now we see in Scripture there are many things in Scripture that bring the death penalty, right? Even Sabbath breaking. Sabbath breaking is a capital offense. We see that in Exodus 16. We see that adultery is a capital offense. Murder is a capital offense. Idolatry is a capital offense. Putting an Elohim before Yahweh. These are crimes that bring death. And yet, in the same way, a lot of times brethren will violate, you know, literally. There's brethren that sometimes will even work on the Sabbath. You know, it's not a little thing, but they'll work on the Sabbath and violate it. And you know what that shows? It shows they don't believe Yahweh. Because nobody would do something if they really believed that they were going to die by doing it. But this was the sin of Adam and Eve. Because look in chapter 3 now. He says very, very clearly in that in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then chapter 3, and the serpent was cunning. You know, he's a snake. You know, he's a conniver above every beast of the field, which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it not so that Elohim said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? That's what Satan does sometimes. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? It's taking part of something that's true and mixing it with error and putting it together to deceive people. And the woman said to the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, surely you shall not die. And Elohim knows that in the day you eat of it, even your eyes will be open, and you will be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. The tree was desirable to make one wise. And she took of the fruit and ate it. And she gave to her husband, and he ate it. So now, very, very clearly, when we look at this, right? What happens? Yahweh told them they'll die. The serpent told them, no, you will not die. And even more, not only won't you die, Yahweh doesn't want you to know this because he knows it's good for you. He knows you're going to be like him, and he doesn't want you to believe it. They believe the serpent instead of believing in Yahweh. And my question is, how many times are we doubting Yahweh in our life? How many times are we doubting him? Because you know what? Like I said, when we see that Yeshua, and you could read my book, anybody who's watching this, who's never read the book, The Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail Against Them, please read that book. It is extremely important because it proves everything I'm saying today. There is a lineage. There is a lineage that goes from Yeshua and the apostles all the way up into today. And Yahweh kept that lineage there for one reason, so that we would have that today and we're not going to be deceived. That's the only reason Yahweh kept it there, so that people couldn't come and say, oh no, this isn't true. It is documented with more than 250 facts there, you know, that are there, footnotes and facts. And do we believe Yahweh? Do we believe him when he says about not working on Shabbat, you know? Do we believe him when he says about all these different things, you know? When he who leaves his spouse and marries another commits adultery. And yet, in Christianity, divorce and remarriage is higher than in the world. Do we believe it? And if not, we are committing the same sin that Adam and Eve committed here. It was simply not believing Yahweh. So where it says, you know, without faith it's impossible to please Yahweh, for it is right the one drawing near to him should believe that he is, and he's the reward of those diligently seeking him. It may sound simple, but it's much more than sounding simple. We have to do it. We have to act on it. Because the whole foundation of Scripture and the whole foundation of the purpose of man and the whole foundation of the marriage covenant is based on this. So it's something that we have to think about. You know, we know that the word talks about leaving the world, being sanctified. And yet, how many people are so much a part of the world, every new gadget that's coming out, and they're not doing it? The whole existence of mankind, Adam, right? That's the word for mankind. Yahweh created mankind. The whole existence of mankind was for the preparation and preparing of the bride for the bridegroom. That's the whole reason for it. So if we can't believe the promises of Yeshua, you will never be the bride of Messiah. If you can't believe the promises of Yeshua, you will never be the bride of Messiah. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. So really, the main message I want to go over today is laying the foundation of faith and laying the foundation of there is a New Testament lineage. I really want to go over that New Testament lineage with the bride of Messiah, because that is what's important, because that's what's there from the Garden of Eden. And I'm going to prove it to you here in a minute. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. He says, submit yourself one to another in the love of Messiah. So this is all part of the judicial order we find everywhere in Scripture. You know, judicial order was that Yeshua ordained 12 apostles, who ordained others, who ordained others, who ordained others. And today, I am a remnant from that ordination that came from Yeshua, among many, many other elders and deacons that are in the congregation around the world. And we have to submit ourselves one to another. And like I always say with judicial order, it's voluntary and reciprocal. It's not forced. It's not dictatorship. It's a voluntary and reciprocal. It's the spirit of Yahweh moving in our spirit. And we could never have the community movement, the kibbutz movement that we have today, if people were not doing this. If they weren't surrendering their own wants, their own wills, their own desires, and not being selfishly motivated because they want to serve not only Yahweh and Yeshua, but all the other brothers and sisters in the body of Messiah. And like I always say, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. So the Laodicean is the one that's out there on his own. He's the one who's not submitting himself one to another. And then look, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as to our master. Because a husband is the head of the wife, as Messiah is the head of the congregation, and he's the savior of the body. He's the savior of the body. That's important, remember that. But even as the congregation is subject to Messiah, so also the wives to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Messiah loved the congregation and gave himself up. That's why I say judicial order is voluntary and reciprocal, that he might sanctify it, cleansing it by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself as the glorious congregation, not having stain or wrinkle or any such things, but that it be holy, right? Sanctified, set apart, like we just said, and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He, loving his wife, loved himself. For then no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even also as our master does to the congregation. For we, excuse me, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this a man will leave his father and mother and will be joined to his wife, and the two will be one flesh. They will be echad. This is a great mystery, but I speak as to Messiah and his congregation. Wow. So where is Paul getting this from? You know where he's getting it from? He's getting it from the purpose of man. Because if you go back to Genesis 1 and verse 26 and 27, what does it say? And Elohim said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven and over the cattle and the earth and over the creepers creeping on the earth. And Elohim created the man, Ha'adom, in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created him. But he created them, male and female. And that's what we said in the other message, the first message that was given, that, okay, Ha'adom is a creation from mankind. Adom means mankind. Ha'adom with the perfect article means the man from mankind that's taken out of it. But in the beginning, before Eve is created, he creates them, male and female. So they're created, male and female. Eve is not created. Eve is the only human being and person and woman in the world that was actually not created, but taken out of another human being. So even though in one sense you could say every human being since there has been taken out of woman, but it's very different. It's very different. Why? Because this is why abortion is so evil. And it's evil that they're having this mass murdering of 50 million babies a year, killing of innocent babies before they're born, because the seed comes together, right, with the egg, and the baby grows in the womb for 9 months and comes out. That didn't happen with Eve, as we're going to see here. Eve came out of the man because this is about the marriage covenant. This is from creation, and that's what I'm saying. From creation, the whole existence of mankind was for the preparation and preparing of the bride of Messiah. This is the whole existence. This is the whole meaning of the purpose of man. This is why they're bearing fruit. They're not just bearing fruit for the kingdom and multiplying it. It's to bear fruit and multiply for the bride of Messiah. Now we go to chapter 2 and verse 18, right? What do we see here? And Yahweh Elohim said, it's not good the man being alone. I will make a helper suited for him. I will make a helper suited for him. Just one second here. I just want to go back one page in my notes. Okay. And Yahweh Elohim formed every animal of the field and every bird of the heaven out of the ground. And he brought them to the man to see what he would call it, and all which the man might call it, each living soul, that was its name. And the man called names to the cattle and the birds of the heaven, to every animal of the field. But for a man, no helper was suited for him. And I chuckle because it really is funny. You know, like Yahweh has a sense of humor. He knows that animals are not going to be compatible with human beings. Like I say, we heard the expression, the dog is the man's best friend, but that's somebody who must be a really, really lonely guy. Because human beings need other human beings. You need somebody you can talk to, somebody who you can relate to, somebody who you can feel certain emotions and feelings with. And over here, you're not going to get that from an animal. So Yahweh, he knows what he's going to do, but he wants to show Adam this. He wants to show him that animals are wonderful. There's a purpose for animals, but it's not the purpose of man. It's not the purpose of marriage. So he brings all these animals. He makes the names of the animals, but that's not good enough. And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh underneath. And Yahweh Elohim formed the rib which he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This now at last is bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh, for this shall be called woman, because out of the man she has been taken. Therefore a man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and they will become ichad, unified. And they were both naked, the man and the wife, and they were not ashamed." So really interesting, because as we read this here, right, what does he say? At last, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. What did we read in Ephesians 5 in verse 30? We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Exactly what we just read here. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will be one flesh. So the Apostle Paul is equating Eve being taken out of the man to us being part of the literal body of Messiah. That is amazing. That is flooring. And I don't think in the Laodicean era that believers look at this enough, that they understand it's not just that we're slaves, right? Like it says in Corinthians 6, your life is bought and paid for. I think we could understand that. We could understand that if you had a debt you couldn't pay and you become a slave, now you have to pay that debt off and you're a slave to somebody. But it's more than that. It's not just that you don't belong to yourself because you're a slave and your life is bought and paid for. That's part of it, yes. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. The life of Messiah dying on the torture tree is for our life. But it's more than that, because now we are literally a part of his body. We are a part of his body. And literally, it's just like your pinky can't independently say, cut me off and let me go and let me start a pinky business, wherever. It doesn't work that way. And in a Laodicean era, this is something that's majorly being missed. Eve being taken out of Adam is because she is literally a part of him, like he said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And we are the same with Messiah, and we have to think this way. And it's not just us, but it's each person in the body of Messiah. We are one body. And this is such a fundamental belief of the New Testament. You wonder, how can Christians, Messianics, and unfortunately even some that leave the true faith, how could they miss this? You can only miss it if you have a Laodicean spirit. And like I said, Proverbs 18:1, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. There are not 1,000 congregations of Yeshua. That is evident. How could you go to somebody who's a Sunday keeper and show them 50 scriptures that Saturday is the Sabbath, which everyone is true, and then try to tell him that Yeshua doesn't have one congregation, that there's 1,000 congregations or a million congregations like there are in Christianity? You've just lost every ounce of your credibility with that person. Because the same amount of scriptures that I can read showing that Saturday is the Sabbath is the same amount of scriptures I can show that there's a judicial order and there's one congregation. So if Yahweh called me out of the world, he takes me out of my decrepit life and brings me to this and makes me one with Yeshua, makes me a literal pinky of his body, what would ever make me leave that? What on earth could ever make me leave that and just go on my own and want to start my own body? You know, it's absolutely absurd, but we see that's not the way it is. So literally we see here, this is the great mystery of the new covenant. Not only that Yahweh sent his only son to die for the sins of mankind, Adam, but that out of mankind he would choose a remnant to become his bride in literal body of Messiah, to have a relationship with Yeshua like the Father has with him. And this is why only with Adam and Eve, they're the only two human beings in the history of the world where the woman was taken out of the man. And it's the same today. The analogy, like we see here in Ephesians 5, is that we are a literal part of that body, that we have to surrender our mind, our way of thinking. What we think is right and we think is wrong really doesn't matter. It's what Yahweh does. It's His judicial order. It's about surrendering ourselves to Him because we're so awesomely thankful that He called us out of the world and called us to His literal body. And then He wants to have a relationship with us the same as He has with His Father. He wants to have this intimate relationship with us as literally a part of His body, the same way that He has with the Father in heaven. How awesome. How awesome. And then the woman for life, Hava, she was not created, but came out of the man and was literally a part of him. Out of the man, Ish, is the word for man in Hebrew beside Adam. And the word for the woman is Isha. So the Isha came out of the Ish to make example of the bride of Messiah as part of his very body. And like I said, in the times we're living in, the Laodiceans are missing this. And never in a million years will you ever be able to explain it to them. Because even the simple fact of, and I've taught this for years in marriage, of being a kod, that literally you can be a kod. You can be a kod with another human being. You could be in total mind, in total purpose, in total unity, the way the Father is with the Son, if the people surrender to each other. It can be. But, and I've had people just look at me strange and say, that's why they can't understand that Yahweh and Yeshua are two different beings. They just can't understand it. Because in their mind, there's no way that two beings, even if it's Yahweh and Yeshua, could ever be in unity. It will never work. And yet in the history of the world, trillions and billions and zillions of years, Yahweh and Yeshua have never ever had an argument. They've never had a contrary thought because they've surrendered themselves to each other. But if you have a Laodicean mindset, all you want is you. All you want is what you're thinking. And you're not going to surrender yourself to anyone. And you know what? If it doesn't go your way, if you don't like it, no matter what it is, it could be the calendar, it could be this, it could be that, it can be over something ridiculous like coffee or tea. If things aren't going your way or the time services start, I'm going and I'm going on my own. And you know what? When people do that, they do. They go on their own. And we cannot allow this to be normal for us that are part of the true remnant and true bride of Messiah. Let Yahweh do the judging. But we can't think in our mind that this is normal because it's not normal. There is one body. There is one bride. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Because what a gift that Yeshua is giving us. What a gift to call us out, to open up our mind, to understand this. And like I said, for the first time, at least in my lifetime, as a believer in 35 years, I see it working. I see people not only surrendering to each other, and not just in marriage, in the congregation, and not just once a week on Sabbath or at the feast times, but I see people living in community, living together, loving each other, surrendering for each other. When something is needed, everybody wanting to help and wanting to give, no matter what the need is. And this is what it's about. So 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 says, "And to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit as a help to him. For through the Spirit is given to one a word of wisdom, and to another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit," right? It's a gift of Yahweh. You have to ask him for it. "To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, workings of power, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of languages, interpretations of languages. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing separately to each as it wills." So what happens here? These are gifts that Yahweh gives to each of us according to the way He chooses, right? But that's the way He does it. And then verse 12. "Even as the body is one, but has many members, but all the members of the one body being many are one body, so is Messiah." Here's the New Testament lineage. This is literally our lineage. This is the, you have a physical lineage that went from Adam to Yeshua, and now we have a spiritual lineage, right? It's a spiritual lineage that, how do we know we're part of the body of Messiah? By doing this. By surrendering to each other. By loving each other. All men will know you're my disciples by this, by your love one for another. But how on earth can anybody honestly go to somebody and try to say there's not one body in the New Testament? Like we said, like I just said, Yahweh and Yeshua have never had a contrary thought. They are the most united, Ikad example that we could ever think of. And yet he's taken that same spirit, the same exact spirit that's in the Father and in the Son, is in us. It's not a different spirit. It's not a lower spirit. It's the same exact spirit to allow us, even though we have free will, because he had to give us free will, it's part of the purpose of man, because he created us in his image and he has free will, but he's chosen to be this way and we have to choose to be this way. But there's only one body, like it says here. All the members of one body being many are one body, so is the Messiah. There's only going to be one bride. There's not going to be 20 different cities, you know, and 50 different brides. No, and I said this many times in sermons. I said, if Yeshua returned today, what church would he enter? If Yeshua returned today, what church would he enter? Would he go into the Catholic Church? Would he go into the Protestant Church? Would he go into the Episcopalian? Would he go into the Messianic? He only has one body. He has one remnant. I know the congregation he'd go to because his word tells us that. My book proves it. And he's backed it up. So faith, the deed is the evidence of your faith. You know, the deed is the evidence of your faith. So the fact that Yahweh prophesied thousands of years ago to have an end time work in Jerusalem, and that he's allowing everybody in the world, it's not my work, it's his work, he's allowing me to lead it, but every single person in the world is welcome to be part of that work. And the fact that he's shown blessings, he's even had prophecy fulfilled through this ministry, is proof that we're at least part of it. I'm not saying we're the only ones, because I love all the other branches and parts of Yahweh and Yeshua's congregation. I honor the men who Yeshua has called beside myself, and I want to work and help with everybody who's part of that true branch. But very, very clearly, there is one congregation. You can't just break off and start your own. Yeshua and Yahweh, it would go contrary to everything they had to that they believe in to have to do something like that. And what people have to do is they have to understand this, and they have to humble themselves and realize this is something bigger than me. It's not about me, right? It's about being one body, so is the Messiah. For also we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Aramaeans, whether slaves or free, even all were given to drink into one spirit. For also the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am a hand, I am not of the body, is it not of the body? If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, on account of this, is it not of the body? If the body were an eye, if all the body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If all were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now Elohim set the members, each one in them, in the body, even as it pleased him. So I didn't choose to be the leader of Jerusalem. Yahweh put me there the same way he put leaders in Africa and Asia and the United States and all over the world. Yahweh puts the people as it chooses him. And when we rebel against the set leadership that Yahweh puts, we're not rebelling against man, we're rebelling against Yahweh. We say, I'm not going to go there, but we see it very clear with Moses in Exodus 16, in Numbers 16, when they came. And they came to fight against Moses. Unbelievable. Telling Moses, you know, you take too much for yourself, Moses. We're equal with you. And people wanted to break off from Moses. You know, Moses himself, the same with Yeshua. We had the same thing when he was alive. But verse 18, but now Elohim set the members, each one of them, in the body as it pleased him. So wherever we are in the body, and you know what, I've said this, and I say it from the bottom of my heart. If I'm a toilet cleaner in the kingdom, I will do it with my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. I will get that brush and I will shine that toilet as best as possible. Any job that Yahweh wants me to do, I am happy with it. And I would never in a million years ever rebel against something that he's given me. And against people that he's put in there. We see it with King David and King Saul. Wow, you can't get a more arrogant, prideful, rebellious person than King Saul. And yet, what did David say? He didn't say, I'm going to go out and start my own country. I'm going to start my own congregation. He said, no, I will not fight against Yahweh's anointed. If this man will be removed, let Yahweh remove him. But if all were one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, many are the members, but it is one body. It is one body. And, you know, I see something that's happening in the last 5, 6, 7 years across the, what I guess people call the sacred name movement in the sacred name congregations, where I see a lot of these men looking to work together. I see the men that are part of this end time remnant beside Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem, reaching out, wanting to work together, submitting to each other, and not, you know, not looking to just be on their own and break off and do their own thing, because we are one body and we have to accept this. And even though we may have some differences doctrinal wise and other things, at the same rate, we have to honor the fact that they are part of that remnant. And you can't make yourself part of the remnant. We have other people. I've had people that were Baptist pastors, Pentecostal pastors, and they come into the truth. And then they think they can go from a Pentecostal or Baptist pastor one day and just walk and start being a pastor of Yeshua the next day. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. There's ordination, there's training, and there's submission and learning. You know, there's a reason why Yeshua spent almost more than 2 years training those apostles. If it was just to die for the penalty of sins, he could have did that in, like we said, 3 days, 3 nights. But he stayed because he had to train the people. And there's a judicial order that comes there that has to go by. Verse 25, but that there not be division in the body, but that the members might have the same care one for another. And if one member is in pain, all the members suffer. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice. And you are the body of Messiah and members in your respective places. And Elohim placed some in the congregation, firstly apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, works of power, gifts of healing, and then it goes on. So very, very clearly, judicial order. There's a judicial order. That Yeshua ordained these men himself, who ordained others, who ordained others, and that judicial order is still there today. Yeshua is the second Adam. He's a life-giving spirit, and we are part of his very body. We can't survive separately. You know, it's impossible. You cannot survive separately. John 10, you cannot survive away from the body. Yahweh didn't make it to be that way. You know why? Because he is the body. The body is Yeshua. It's not a man. It's not an earthly government. He is the head of the body. And if he made it where you can survive without him, what would be the purpose of it? What would be the purpose of life? And that's the whole purpose of man. That even the other human beings that were created at creation, they weren't evil. But without Adam bringing the spirit of Yahweh to them, how quick did they become evil? You know, like I always say, there is no such thing as darkness. It's simply the absence of light. And the absence of Yahweh in our life will just bring evilness and the worst evil thing that we can ever imagine. We need Yahweh at the head of our life. The whole point of this test, and life is a test, is surrendering our will to his will. And it's not easy in the time we're living in, because we're living in the most evil time we ever had. And that's why we need to come out of the world. We need to be separated from the world. We need to be not part of all the things the world is doing. But John 10, 1 through 5, says, truly, truly, I say to you that he who does not enter into the sheepfold of the flock by the gate, but climbs up another place, he's a thief and a robber. So there's one gate of this congregation, right? Yeshua has had that gate for 2,000 years. He's the one who built the fence. He's the one who started the congregation. He's the one who put the gate. He's the one that gave the apostles the foundation, the doctrine, and told them what you need to do to bring people into this congregation. The apostle Paul, 3 years on the glorified Yeshua, was with him at Mount Sinai and learned from him. So, wow, the apostle Paul really has an insight to this. And we have pastoral epistles in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus telling us exactly how to run Yeshua's congregation. Everything from ordination to baptism to how to teach, what to teach, our doctrine, everything is there. And it's not for any human being to decide for himself. And that's why I say, an elder is not separated from the body of Messiah. He becomes an elder by being a mature brother and understanding the doctrine and being able to teach to others. And then he's recognized in the congregation as an elder. And then from that point, he's got to do that job as an elder, which is what? Following the judicial order that was already there before he became an elder and just being able to give and teach it. Now, if that person leaves that doctrine, if he just gets his own doctrine and decides he wants to go his own way, he's lost his qualification as an elder, because that's exactly what it says. So somebody who's never been trained, we look at the whole messianic movement and you see people who basically have never been trained, never ordained, nothing. You know, some of them have theatrics. Sure, they can dress up, you know, in all this different Mideast garb, or even dress up like Santa Claus and do all these different things. But that does not make you an elder of Yahweh. So there is a judicial order. And what is the absence of that judicial order? Chaos. That's the chaos we see today. And that's why there's all different false doctrines and everything. So you got to come in through the gate. You got to come into the congregation through the way Yeshua said. You don't climb over the wall another way. So like I said, even if you're a Baptist pastor for the last 25 years and you come to truth, you have to still come. Doesn't mean you didn't learn anything as a Baptist pastor. There's a lot of good things you could have learned in your character. But if you're coming into Yeshua's congregation, you have to be trained into leadership all over again, because you learned from false religion. It's that simple. He says, but the one entering through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens to him and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes in front of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will not follow a foreigner, never. But they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. And this is what I say as we're going over Song of Solomon, and we see the love of Yeshua for his bride and the love of the bride for Yeshua. The true bride of Messiah, the 144,000, the ones with Yeshua on Mount Zion to follow the Lamb wherever he go. They could never be deceived by these charlatans. And you know what? Not only can't they be deceived, they wouldn't even be looking for it. The true bride of Messiah would never be surfing the internet for all kinds of false, perverted doctrine. I call it spiritual pornography, because it really is. It's evil, and it will tear your spirit down, because the true brethren, the true bride, they know the voice of the shepherd. They know the voice of the shepherd, and they're always going to follow that voice. And like I said, to think that the Father and the Son have never, ever, ever had a disagreement. They are ikad. They are one in purpose. They are one in thought. They are one in goal. And they are totally unified. And we can be the same way, because we are part of his very body. That all we have to do is get our mind out of the way, surrender to him in faith. That's what faith is, believing that his way is better than our way, and quit our way. Stop letting pride come in before it. Stop wanting our way. Stop being offended. Stop playing the victim, because that's what the Laodicean loves to do. The Laodicean has 100 reasons to hell on why he's the victim. And that's what all the time. Because of this, because of that, he looked at me the wrong way. He said this, he offended me here, he didn't get this. I did all this work and nobody... It's 100 ways to hell. 100 ways to hell that the Laodicean has, because he's playing this victimhood. And victimhood will get you nowhere in life. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do, because it doesn't make you feel better. It doesn't get you what you want. It just will leave you in a state of bitterness, a root of bitterness, which we know in the Bible leads to nowhere, a root of bitterness. And it will make your life miserable. And you tell me, anybody that's a victim, if they have those 9 fruits of the Spirit, if you're a victim, you will never have love, joy, peace, patience, faith. You'll never have that, because you're sulking in your own mind and all of these false paradigms, which you're thinking is going on to you that really aren't even true. So it's extremely important that we understand this. You know, there's only one gate. We have to follow the judicial order of Yeshua. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 44. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 44. Because to the true bride, and that's who I'm speaking to. I'm not speaking to the Laodiceans. I know they're never going to understand or learn. But to the true bride, we have to embrace what Yeshua is doing in our life. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 44 says, there is a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body, right? There was a physical lineage from Adam to Yeshua, and now there's a spiritual lineage. So also it has been written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Adam became a living soul. Adam sucked the life out of himself, his family, and all of mankind by his lack of belief in Yahweh. But the last Adam, Yeshua, became a life-giving spirit. And now every one of us have the Holy Spirit in us, and we can give that Holy Spirit to others. We have the ability, when we breathe and words come out, we have the ability to give life with our words or take life, right? The power of life and death are in the tongue. And what do we do every day we wake up? We could smell the air and say, thank you, Yahweh, and have words of life and be giving and uplifting, or we could be cutting people down and just have bad words to say. But not the spiritual first, but the natural, afterward the spiritual. So if all you're doing is criticizing, playing the victim, doing this, then you're in the natural state. You're never going to go into the spiritual. The natural comes before the spiritual. You have to deny that. You have to rebuke it. The first man was out of the earth earthly. The second man was the master Yahweh out of the heaven. As is the earthly man, such are the earthly ones. As is the heavenly man, such are the heavenly ones. And as we bore the image of the earthly, we shall bear the likeness of the heavenly, right? We bore the image. We look like Adam, right? We have hands and we have a nose and we have ears and we have a mouth. And we sinned in his likeness like he did. We failed in faith like he did. But now we have to bear the likeness of the heavenly. We have to look at Yeshua, you know, who even though he was reviled, he never reviled back. Even though he was spit upon and mocked, he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And the example that he taught us to even love our enemies. Doesn't mean we support our enemies. It doesn't mean we condone our enemies. But how do we love our enemies? By not doing the same thing back to them. By not doing the same thing. And one of the most powerful things that will always be in my life is when Richard Wurmbrand, after he was beaten unmercifully for praying, literally just for praying, and he's sitting in that room again, and the guard comes after he was just beaten, and he sees his crippled hands and blood coming down, and he says, what's wrong with you? You've lost everything. Everything you've had has been lost. You know, you have nothing anymore. What on earth could you still be praying for? And he says, I'm praying for you. Praying for you. He wasn't condoning the evilness of that man, but he was praying that that man would see the evilness of his ways and change. Ephesians 4, we have to get this mentality. We are one body. We are one body. And you know what? If people don't want to be, it's a choice. If people don't want to be part of that one body, that's their choice. But we have to bad communications ruin good habits. And you can't allow the world around you to affect your mindset. And it doesn't matter if it's false religion, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes it can even be neighbors that are close to you. It could be family members. Or even, unfortunately, even at times, sometimes even within the congregation, there are people that need to be avoided because they're not grasping this. You know, and Paul tells us if people are gossips, if they're this, if they're that, to avoid such people. And particularly people that wind up leaving the congregation and attack the congregation, you know, that are drawing people away to falsehood, that are taking them from the truth. Why on earth would we want contact with people that are doing that? I, the prisoner of our master, exhort you to walk worthily of the calling of which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with long suffering, bearing with one another. I'm in Ephesians verse 4, being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there can only be peace if there's real unity. And real unity can only come by denying our will to the will of Yahweh the Father. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in the hope of your calling. One Yahweh family, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, the one above all and through all and in you all. So like I said, Yahweh can't be divided. And if we have this mentality, and believe me, you know, in my 35 years, there are several times where I saw things that were not right that I could have easily said, I'm going to walk away. You know, they're not doing it right. I'm going to walk away and I'll start on my own. I never did that. I never did it until the organization walked away. And then I just stayed where I was because they left. But I realized that from the day I joined that Yahweh, I was so thankful. He called me out of Catholicism, out of a dead, demonic religion that I thought was true. He called me into his one true congregation. He called me into here. He called me. I was trained. There was elders. There were brethren. In the congregation, it's like a mother to us. And I was thankful for that. Now, not in a million years would I have ever thought of just going out and starting my own congregation. There's one congregation. The same way as there's one name in heaven and earth where men can be saved. There's not two names, five names, 10 names, 20 names. And isn't it very interesting that when people forget this, when they stop believing there's one body and one congregation and one Yahweh family, and they go on their own, what happens next? You know, what happens next? They lose the Sabbath day a lot of times, right? This rotating Sabbath, where does it come from? Or the Sabbath starting at sunrise or starting at sunset. You know how many people that were part of Church of God, the very foundation of the true congregation in our time, that in the end wound up believing in a sunrise Sabbath or a rotating Sabbath, stop using the name Yeshua or Yahweh or both, you know. Stop with the proper calendar. And believe it or not, the end, a lot of them even start believing that the earth is flat. That's how deceived a lot of these people can become. You may laugh at it, but it really isn't funny. It's not funny because every single person that believes the world is flat is a false witness. They are bearing false witness because I know brethren that have been in the Navy that are airplane pilots. My own dad who went in a ship from Washington State over to Korea and he didn't fall off the end of the earth. He got there. So he went from the west and wound up in the east. The earth is not flat. And I believe him. And I believe the millions of brethren that worked in NASA, that worked as airplane pilots, that firsthand can tell you definitely the world is not flat. And I never saw one witness that said, oh no, Don, I've been there at the end. I saw it. I almost fell over and looked over. And this is what happens. People get so deceived when they leave the true body of Messiah, when they go out on their own, you know, and it may not be on day one, but give it a little time, like I always say. Without judicial order, give it a few weeks, a few months, a few years. And 100% of the time, I have not seen a congregation ever stay to the truth. Ever. Because you can't. You can't leave the one body of Messiah and think you're going to hold on to the truth because it's the Holy Spirit that's opening up your mind to the truth. And when you leave, you are quenching that spirit and quenching that spirit. And to the point, if you do it long enough, you'll commit the unpardonable sin. You'll never come back to the truth. You'll never come back to the truth. And you'll forget the very reason you even came to the congregation. Yahweh can open up your mind to his end time work, the tabernacle of David, Israel being a nation, and all these things. And all of a sudden, you'll forget it. I've seen people that claimed they loved Israel. They would come to the feast every year, leave the congregation. Never come back to Israel in 10 years, 15 years, ever. I'm not Israel. I'm not the one who redeemed Israel in the end time. I'm just a voice in the wilderness that Yahweh has given to share his truth with the people. But very clearly, there's one body, one spirit, one Yahweh family, one Elohim. But to each of us, he has given grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. And then he goes on here and it says, he that came down in verse 10 is the same who went up into the heaven that he might fill all things. And indeed, he, Yeshua, has assigned some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all may come to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a full grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, so that we may no longer be like children being blown and carried by every wind of false doctrine of men who through their craftiness are very skillful in deceiving the people. Who was the one who was very skillful and cunning? Didn't we just read it in chapter 3? The serpent. And these people, some may not understand they're following Satan, some may do, but they are. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up unto him in all things, who is the head, the Messiah. It is through him that the whole body is closely framed together and united at all joints. Believe me when I say it, Yeshua does not have a divided body. And I could say that firsthand. I see it. I travel around the world. I'm getting ready to go to Africa again. I think this will be about the 12th trip to Africa. And I see the brethren wanting to serve, that surrender, to be part of that one work that Yahweh is doing. It is through him that the whole body is closely joined together and united all joints according to the gift that is imparted by measure to each member for the guidance and control of the body in order to complete the edifying of the body in love. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Master that you no longer walk, even as also the rest of the nations walk, in vanity of their mind. And it's very sad to me that people that had the truth, you know, like I said, that were part of the true remnant, that fall away into some of these heresies. And like I say, in not one case do they say, hey, I studied the Bible and I came to this. I just one day studied the Bible and started to believe the earth is flat, you know, or that the Sabbath rotates by the new moon. It doesn't. Where it comes from, it's like it says here, it comes from the world. And look what he says. I just read in verse 17. Therefore, I say to you and testify in the Master that you no longer walk even as the rest of the nations walk in the vanity of their mind. We have to come out of the world. We should not be looking toward the internet for our knowledge. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there's a lot more evil than good. We need to be looking to the tree of life, the scriptures, the elders that Yahweh has opened up their mind to share these things with us. You know, the things that I teach, I'm not thinking of these things. I'm studying my Bible, and as I'm studying, the words are being glowed like the Uman and the Thuman. And Yahweh is showing me and then taking me to another scripture and another scripture. And he's giving me these messages to bring to his people. Because now we are in that last phase. Yeshua, the bridegroom, is coming out of his chamber and he's coming for the bride. And like we were saying in the Song of Solomon, we're not ready yet. You know, but we will be ready if you read the whole book. But we got to go to the wilderness. We have to go to the wilderness and we have to get rid of our own free will. We have to get rid of our own selfishness, our own pride. And that's the only way it's going to happen. And we can't allow the world around us that's not going to the wilderness to affect us. You know, and that's why we have to sanctify ourselves. What does sanctify mean? It's simply setting ourselves apart. The same way that we set apart Sabbath, Saturday, from the other 6 days of the week, and the same way we set apart the Passover from the other days of the year, we have to set apart sometimes, you know, where we live, the people we have contact with. You know, bad communications ruin good habits. The things we do, what we're watching, you know, the internet, we're surfing, all these things have to be taken into account. The kingdom is a reality, but like I always say, it's also a mentality. The kingdom is a reality, but also a mentality. Every thought, action must be toward doing the will of Yahweh and not our own will. He does have a body that Yeshua set up 2,000 years ago, and he's called us to be a part, a pinky or a toe, to that one body. We can't let pride or victimhood stop us from being a cod and submitting to the body. I'm not going to go there in 1 Corinthians 6, but Paul says, you know, about why not just be wronged? You know, that brethren at that time were even taking each other to court. And he says, why not just be wrong? You can't play the victim. You can't allow victimhood because it will destroy your life. Because, like I said, you got to realize the kingdom of Yahweh is bigger than me. It's bigger than all of us. And I can't let something personal or personal feelings affect the work of Yahweh. And sometimes that's how we grow. Sometimes that's the way Yahweh is teaching us. Because something will happen in our life. And maybe somebody did wrong us or something happened. But it is a freedom to forgive. It's a freedom to allow that stuff to be released and to let the work of Yahweh move on. And it's bondage to hold on to. That's where the root of bitterness comes in. The root of bitterness is about the worst thing. It hurts you way more than the other person. Because I've seen many, many times where the person holding the root of bitterness, the other person has repented and has changed and has moved on. And the person who's playing the victim, they haven't. And the root of bitterness will destroy their life. John the 15th chapter. We are one body and we have to understand that. And the same way, like I said, the same way that Yahweh took Hava, Eve, out of Adam, is the same way in Ephesians 5 and verse 30 that the Apostle Paul says, Yeshua is to us. You know, that we are part of his very body. Part of his very body. John 15. says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he takes away. And each one bearing fruit, he prunes, so it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word which I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, as the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself unless it remain in the vine. So neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this man will produce plentiful fruit, because without me you are not able to do anything. Unless one remains in me, he is cast out as the branch and is dried up, and they gather and throw them into a fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, whatever you desire, you will ask and it will happen to you. In this my Father is glorified, that you should bear much fruit, and you will be disciples of me. So does it sound here that we can just go off and start our own? You see it out in the world today, in the Messianic movement, so-and-so ministries, you know, Bill Smith ministries, you know, all this stuff. Selling tapes, selling DVDs, selling all this stuff. No, of course not. Unless we remain in him, there's one body, one Yahweh family. And unless we surrender ourselves into that, like he says, we'll wither. We won't survive. We won't make it. Verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I chose you and planted you, that you should go out and should bear fruit, and your fruit remain, that whatever you should ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, know it hated me before you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word which I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things that they will do to you on account of my name, because they did not know the one who sent me. So very, very clear. You know, I never preach my own word. I preach the word of Yahweh. I preach the word that was given to me for the last 2,000 years. And if people reject my word, they're rejecting the word of Yahweh. If they're rejecting the word that Yahweh's giving from his word, they're rejecting him. And if they're rejecting him, they're rejecting Yeshua, like he says. He can't send a delegation. He can't send somebody in his name and you reject that person. Say, you're not rejecting him. We even see that in the parable of the vineyard, like we were reading last night, the same thing. So let's go to Matthew 25 now in our remaining time to the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, because it's extremely important, because there's 10 virgins, 5 are Philadelphians, 5 are Laodiceans. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, went out to a meeting of the bride and the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those being foolish, taking their lamps, they did not take oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. So what do we see here? We see that this is the end time. And the Laodicean doesn't see it. The Laodicean does not see that he needs oil in his lamp. He doesn't see that his lamps are going out. Why? Because the Laodicean thinks he's rich and increased with goods and need of nothing. You know, he doesn't need anything. So the Laodicean doesn't see his decrepit state. And that's why he doesn't see the need to get oil. But what does the bride see? The bride sees, we're not ready. We're not ready. We may be growing, we may be getting there, but we're not ready. I need to get some more oil. I need to be studying. I need to be praying. I need to be fasting. I need to be meditating. I got to stay close to that trunk of the tree. I got to stay close to Yeshua. I got to make sure that I got enough oil in my lamp. That's the Philadelphian. The Laodicean is not seeing the same thing there, though. He's too self-focused on his own wants, his selfish attitude, his self-seeking. Facebook, selfies, and all religions are breaking apart due to Laodicean attitude. Like I said, it's not just in Yeshua's congregations, it's the whole world. It's a Laodicean world that we are living in. Self-consumed, pride, and victimhood. Everything is victimhood. Everything is all being the victim. And we got to come out. Now, the 5 Philadelphians, they went back to the old paths. They surrendered their pride. They lost their self-desires. They only focus is to love Yahweh with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love their neighbors as themselves. They want to live in community because they see the body as a part of the bride collectively. They see the body as a part of themselves. When one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member is glorified, we all glorify. So when a member maybe got a raise at work, or you know, maybe something happened, they got a new job, or they had a baby, you don't see any kind of jealousy because they got something that someone else wanted. No, there's happiness. Because when one is happy, we're all happy. And when same as when somebody's suffering, we find out somebody is sick, then we're all praying and we're all feeling it because we are one body. We're feeling it to each other. Where the bride collectively, they realize they are only a pinky or a toe and only a small part of a bigger body, and it's not about them. The Laodiceans, they think they have everything because they don't need anything. Because they judge success by money, mammon, personal gain, Facebook likes, their own selfish goals and ambitions, not for the end time work of Yahweh, only self-gratification. And that's why many, you know, especially in these private ministries, they think they're doing great. Because maybe they can get 500 people coming to a meeting. Maybe they could sell 1,000 books. You know, they think, wow, that's all great. But it has nothing to do with the kingdom of Yahweh. It has nothing to do with the bride of Messiah. It has nothing to do with the redemption, the end time work of Yahweh, you know, from Israel and the redemption that he's doing. So now let's go to verse 5. But the bridegroom delaying all nodded and slept, right? Everybody slept. You know, we all would have thought Yeshua was coming sooner than what he did. But yet, the bride never lost focus or understanding of the truth, what Yahweh is doing in the end time, restoring Israel, the tribes in diaspora, judicial order from Jerusalem. So even though maybe on a prophetic realm, maybe some of us like myself thought, wow, Yeshua would have come earlier than this. But at the same rate, I could say I never lost my focus. Never changed the truth, never got off on a side note. And people ask me sometimes, how on earth in the world we live in could you have stayed so straight? I say I got blinders on. I don't look to the right, I don't look to the left, I look straight ahead, period. Period, and that's it. And we got to make sure the kingdom of Yahweh is always first in our life. Verse 6 through 9 now. And at midnight a cry occurred, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins were aroused and prepared their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself. Right? So they weren't following the leadership that Yeshua ordained. They were going on the internet and they're buying for themselves, buying DVDs, buying books, buying all this stuff. And what's happening, you know, get some of them even getting into false tongues and that kind of stuff. But they, some of them lost the true Sabbath, the name of Yahweh and Yeshua, the wrong Passover day. And I could tell you, and you could read it in my book, for 2,000 years, the remnant of Yeshua have always kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. That is one of the foundational truths I learned when I was in Church of God. And yet some Church of God people that were there for 25 years, some of them that were even elders in Church of God, wound up changing to the 15th Passover, the Jewish Passover. They left the truth and the Holy Spirit stopped working with them. False calendar, you know, some of them even getting into false tongues, bearing no fruit. They're blinded, so they seek the internet for knowledge instead of the servants of Yahweh. And like I said, some even believing the earth is flat. And just as Adam believed the lie of the serpent, five were foolish. And if you look that word up for foolish, it literally means to be dull, to be stupid, to be a blockhead, to be absurd. And that's exactly what it is. You know, it's being a blockhead. It's being absurd. Anybody in this day and age with all the knowledge we have out there to believe that the earth is flat is literally stupid. And that's what the word means. That's not me saying it. You know, that's what the word literally means. Just as Adam had the tree of life and chose death through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, these Laodiceans through pride are doing the same thing today. Like I said, all smoke and mirrors. There's no real truth. There's no change of character. It's all looking for the next thing. You know, they're all, all excited about this kind of conjunction or this blood moon until it happens. They don't even understand what it's about because they are important. And then they go to the next one. Write books. Write this. Make DVDs. Sell them for $50. And that's the end. Matthew 25:10. But they going away to buy, the bridegroom came and those ready went with him to the wedding feast and the door was shut. So that's the Laodicean. See, he doesn't understand. He thinks he's rich and increased with goods and need of nothing. But when this time comes and the door is shut on him, he'll realize he's poor, he's blind and miserable and naked. Yeshua giving the sign that his return is close. The bride is getting ready, having a kingdom mindset, but the Laodicean is out buying from Amazon. He'll be locked out, has no concept what Yahweh is doing in the end time. And then verse 11, and afterwards the rest of the virgins came also saying, Master, Master, open to us. But answering, he said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore be alert, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. We must be alert. Don't leave the camp. Stay connected to the one body of the bridegroom. It's very, very clear. I mean, I've seen everything. I've seen people that have left Yeshua's congregation and have literally denied Yeshua and become Jews. There's been people that have actually become Muslims. They leave the congregation, become Muslims. And that's why I say the fact that you meet somebody at a feast or you meet somebody at a meeting, man, Yahweh is very clear. You know them by their fruits, and that's what you have to judge. You can't just, that sometimes someone will come up at a feast, you know, and they'll say, hey, that maybe it's the second time they're there. They were there 10 years ago. And they say, whatever happened to so-and-so? And I wouldn't even remember who. Oh, that person. They were only here once. And then they became a Muslim. You know? So don't just think because somebody's sitting in a chair that they're a brother or sister. You'll know them by their fruits. And a brother or a sister is somebody who's part of the one body of Yeshua. And it's somebody who's living for that. It's somebody who's sacrificing every day. It's somebody who's serving in the body, even with widows, remember? Who is a true widow? One that washed the feet of the saints. You know, somebody that's not out there busybody gossiping. And this is how we have to look at it. Because in the time that we're in now, where Yeshua does have a body, and he's revealing this to us, that just like Eve, coming out of Adam, we are part of his very body, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And we can literally get his mind, but you can't have two minds. You've got to get rid of your own. And you have to stop playing the victim. You have to stop letting pride come into your life. And you just have to let it all go. And then the fruits of the Spirit can fill your life. And you could become somebody you never thought you could. Colossians 1 and verse 9. Colossians 1 and verse 9. Says, for this cause also, from the day in which we heard, we do not cease praying on your behalf and asking that you may be filled with the full knowledge of the will of Elohim and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may live a righteous life, pleasing to Elohim and bearing fruit in every good work, growing into the full knowledge of Elohim. Like I said, faith is known by your deeds. Faith without deeds is dead. Being empowered with all power according to the might of his glory, to patience and long-suffering with joy, so that you may joyfully give thanks to Elohim the Father, who has enlightened and made us a worthy inheritance of the saints. And he's delivered us out of the authority of darkness. He's delivered us out of that cunningness of Satan, the serpent. And he brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have attained salvation and the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible Elohim, the right of the firstborn of all creation. Then it says, all things are by him and through him. He is the head of the body, the firstborn of the resurrection. Let's drop down to verse 21. And you then being alienated and hostile in your mind by evil works, but now peace has been given, right? Has peace been given? Or are you still alienated? Do you still have a mind of victimhood? Are you still thinking in bitterness? Let it go. The Spirit of Yeshua can change you. And you who have been alienated and hostile in your minds by evil works, but now peace has been given through the sacrifice of his body and his death, so that he may raise you before him holy and without blemish and blameless. The bride goes into the wilderness, not totally ready. She comes out with white garments. If indeed you continue, so right, this is how it's going to happen, that you... through his death, so you may be raised, that he may raise you before him holy and without blame and blemish. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and settled and not being moved away from the hope of the good news, which you have heard and which has been preached in all creation under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. The truth is the truth of the truth. In the end times we're living in, we have to worship Yahweh in spirit and truth, and the truth doesn't change. So when you find out that the seventh day of the week is the Sabbath day, and in just about every language or many languages, whether it's Italian or Spanish, you know, all sabado and even Greek, Saturday is the Sabbath day, and that doesn't change, period. So that's what he's saying. Hold on to the hope of all the things you learned. And now rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf and fill up in my flesh the things lacking of the afflictions of Messiah on behalf of his body, which is the congregation. And that's the biggest thing to come out of this sermon, that we as the congregations are his very body. And are we giving him glory by the things we're doing as a pinky or as a toe or as an earlobe or whatever part of that body we are? Are we giving him glory in all these things? Are we filling up the afflictions of him? Because we're called to a persecuted body. And we don't give back reviling for reviling. We don't give back evil for evil. But we even love our neighbor as ourself. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of Elohim given to me for you to preach the word of Elohim everywhere. Even the mystery having been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now is revealed to the saints. And what is that mystery? To whom Elohim willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Messiah in you, the hope of glory. One body, Yeshua the head. He is living in us. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may cause every man to become perfect in Messiah Yeshua. And to this end, I also labor, struggling according to the working of him who works in me in power. Wow. Wow. How awesome. Let's go to Colossians 3. Got to go quick here. We're just about out of time. Colossians 3. It says, if then you were raised with Messiah, seek the things above where Messiah is sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life has been hidden with Messiah in Elohim. Whenever Messiah, our life, is revealed, then also you will be revealed with him in glory. He is our life. We are part of his body. We don't have our own body anymore. And we have to be living everything, everything we do, due to the glory of him. Drop down to verse 8. But now you also put off these things, wrath, anger, malice, evil speaking, filthy congregation out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, having put off the old man with his practices, and put on the new life which is renewed in knowledge after the pattern in which it was originally created, right? So the purpose of man. Yeshua is the second Adam, and we are part of his body. So we need to become part of that second Adam. And we have to put on the new life which is renewed in the knowledge after the pattern in which it was originally created. We're going back to Eden. And this is what we have to do. Everything in Eden was perfect. Whether it's our life, the way we eat, whether it's our mind, our mentality, you know, whether it's how we serve, you know, how we serve our family, how we serve our boss at work, how we serve the brethren. We have to all get back to that kingdom mindset of how it does there. And then he goes on. I'm not going to read it. We really don't have time for it. But I'll read it. Verse 15, and let the peace of Messiah rule in your hearts, for that goal you are called in one body, and be thankful to Messiah. Verse 17, and everything, whatever you do in word or in work, do all things in the name of our Master Yeshua, giving thanks to Yahweh the Father through him. And then he goes over what we read in Ephesians, wives be subject to your husbands, husbands love the wife, children obey the parents, fathers don't provoke the children, servants obey masters, everything within judicial order. It can't come if you're holding on to your own will. You have to let it go, and you have to be able to come under the judicial order of Yahweh. Ephesians 3, Ephesians the third chapter. A couple more scriptures, we're just about done. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. For this cause, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Messiah Yeshua on behalf of you, the nations. Have you indeed heard of the stewardship of the grace of Elohim given to me for you? He made known to me the mystery by a revelation as I wrote to you before. So when you read it, you are able to realize my understanding in the mystery of Messiah, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as now it is revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So these other generations did not understand that the congregation is the literal body of Messiah. And the same way that Eve literally came out of Adam for that reason, that we are part of his very body, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Drop down to verse 10. so that now to the principalities and to the authorities in heaven might be made known through the congregation the manifold wisdom of Elohim, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Messiah, Yeshua our Master, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence through his faith. Therefore, I ask you not to faint at my troubles on your behalf, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, of whom every family in heaven and earth is named, right? That's why we're the congregation of Yahweh. That he may give you according to the riches of his glory by the power to become mighty in the inward man through his Spirit. That through faith, Messiah may dwell in your hearts, having been rooted and founded in love. That you may be given strength to grasp with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the surpassing knowledge and the love of Messiah, that you may be filled to the fullness of Elohim. In verse 21, to him be the glory in his congregation in Messiah Yeshua throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So we are part of that very body, the same as the apostles were, and the Paulicians, and the Waldenses, and the Anabaptists. And as we know from the history, many of them, though, did turn away. Many of them did turn away. Last scripture, Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Because of this hearing of your faith in our Master Yeshua Messiah and your love toward all the saints, I also do not cease giving thanks on your behalf and making mention of you in my prayers, that the Elohim of our Master Yeshua Messiah, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him, the eyes of your mind having been enlightened, for you to know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us, the ones believing according to the working of his mighty strength, which he worked in Messiah in raising him from the dead, and he seated him at his own right hand in heaven. The Father and the Son, two separate beings, far above all cherubs and authority and power and dominion, and every name having been named, not only in this age, but also in the coming age. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to congregation, which is his body, the fullness of the one filling all things and everything. So the congregation is the very body of Messiah, Yeshua being the head. There is one physical family Yahweh called out in the first covenant, which was Israel. And in the new covenant, there's one congregation, one baptism, one name of the Savior, where men can be saved, one truth, and we're either part of it or not part of it. The true congregations always had true Sabbath, holy days, Passover, and all the judicial order that is there. And now, as we're getting ready to go to the wilderness, there's the Laodiceans, the five unwise virgins, foolish virgins, and there are the Philadelphians, the five wise. And Yeshua is stirring up the spirit of his people in these end times because he wants us to work on getting right. He wants us to lose all pride. He wants us to be able to surrender our will to his will so that he can work in our life, so that those nine fruits of the spirit can be manifested. And all disciples will know you by this, the love you have one for another, that we are all part of that one body. And by being in community and Yahweh opening these things up, his people are learning that. We're learning that we are connected to each other. And like I said, as one suffers, we all suffer. As one is blessed, we're all blessed. But we're all part of that one body. And Yahweh has put us in that body where it pleased him. And we have to be thankful for him for all the things. And we have to have faith that wherever we are in life, whatever we're going through, that all things work for the good and Yahweh put us there. So the purpose of man 3, faith and the 10 virgins. Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom.